bad in Las Vegas, Nevada. Steve Crosby and Michael Goodell. Thunderstorms, maybe in Las Vegas. Is that what you said?
Yep.
Thunderstorms are very rare.
Yeah, they are here.
Yeah, but God hates us so much that God has decided to move thunderstorms into Vegas, see if he can get us.
Yes, he hates us so much he's going to scare my child. He works in mysterious ways.
Very mysterious ways. Scare your child. Hey, your kid hates hates thunderstorms, doesn't he?
Yeah, very upset.
Well, this is a good place for him to live because they're rare enough. Right?
Yeah.
Aren't they pretty rare here?
They're pretty rare here.
Yeah. So how do you even know? How old's your kid?
Six.
How many thunderstorms has he experienced?
Enough. We were in Costa Rica last year, and lightning struck a radio tower about 200 yards from us, and that was it.
Oh, yeah. Well, Costa Rica has thunderstorms there.
A lot there, yes.
So that's a whole different thing. 866-313-FREE. We're talking thunderstorms. That's 3733. Penradio@gmail.com. We are maggoty with Gmails today. Just maggoty. People are writing in like crazy. We're just covered with them. He just looked at me and said maggoty. Like covered with maggots. Like a big, like lousy with them. We're lousy. Now, maggoty is an expression I first heard from Newfoundlanders.
Right.
They said that. They said we were a maggoty with magic tricks or something like that. It was wonderful. I did a radio show. I did a TV show with two Newfoundlanders. And they were exactly what you'd picture Newfoundlanders to be. Two young guys, they do a TV show there, and they had me singing sea shanties with them backstage. Because that's what Newfoundlanders do. They sing sea shanties backstage. We've got so many great... I want to talk today... Well, the eclipse is coming up, which is cool. I went to a big eclipse. I want to talk about that. We'll take any calls on eclipses. If you've been to an eclipse, you want to call in. 866-313-FREE, 3733. We also, yesterday we got to talking about ugly nature, you know, wasps.
Yes.
Parasitic wasps and the ugliness of nature. And every time you hear some, you know, Christard or, you know, God lover or something talking about the beauty of nature, you always want to bring up some of the ugly things in nature. Yeah. Now, you contend...
Kandiru, yeah.
What's it called?
Kandiru.
Kandiru?
Kandiru,
and where is it?
It's in the Amazon.
In the Amazon.
Yeah.
And it swims up, and what does it do?
Well, normally it swims into a fish's gills, and then it has this barb, and it props open the gills and then eats the fish. It's nice thing.
Beautiful. The beauty and wonder.
The pops open and starts eating.
Wow. So it kind of like has a, it's like one of those molly bolts?
It's like an umbrella. I said
molly bolt.
Molly
bolt?
Like I was
some sort of builder guy. Like I know what a molly bolt is. And it swims up and it sets itself in there like a molly bolt.
It's very,
and
very difficult
from the
to
inside.
Get out. You have to remove it through surgery.
Oh!
Yeah.
Now, you think that urinating has nothing to do with
it. I think that the uric acid doesn't draw it in. I think it's any orifice of a living animal. It will swim in.
Now, why are you just got this there? Why are you the expert on a...
Well, how often are fish peeing out of their gills?
That's a Zen cone. That is a Zen cone. What is the sound of one hand clapping? How often does a fish pee out of its gills? So you don't think the uric acid is in the gills at all? Of course, you're our science expert on the show.
Yes, so, and I'm making a wild guess against everything else online.
Anybody that wants to talk about ugly nature or the eclipse, which is beautiful nature, or silent birth, you know, I don't want to get into the whole Scientology thing because it's just too easy. The stuff is too nutty. But Tom Cruise's girlfriend, Katie Holmes, has to have a... silent birth, because L. Ron Hubbard, famous acid head and science fiction writer, has said that you have to be completely quiet. You can't talk to a baby in its first 7 days of life, and the delivery room has to be completely quiet. But it's better than that, because there's also no drugs allowed. So no drugs, and you can't scream. Now, the birth of Moxie was wonderful, because we had an epidural, which our doctor calls an epidoodle, which is always good to have your doctor have cute names for procedures. And first of all, if anybody's having a kid out there, do not go to Lamaze classes. Do not under... This is a scam. We couldn't go to Lamaze classes because we didn't care enough about our child or my wife. So we didn't go. But we got a videotape. DVD?
Sure.
That's what they have now. The kids all have the DVDs. They don't even care about the videotapes anymore. We get a DVD of this woman from New York teaching a Lamaze class that we get to watch. We're supposed to take it along with her. And she was, I think, the most annoying human being on the planet. It was astonishing how bad she was. She thought she was funny, and she wasn't, which is always a bad quality. And she was so annoying that we hated her. And by extension, we began to hate childbirth and our unborn child. I mean, you could really, if you were really pro-choice to the point of being anti-life, you know, if you were that, you could show, I mean, this was the biggest argument for abortion I've ever seen. If part of having a child is watching, I wish I had the woman's name. Easy will write in with the woman's name, I'm sure my wife will, because she was so annoying that
she was using the other guy voice for pregnant women, which
Oh, yeah.
You'll have to explain that voice.
You don't know what another guy voice is?
Well, yeah, kind of, but...
This is something I discovered with my father. My father would tell stories over the dinner table of things that had happened to him. And my dad had one other guy voice, and that was it. And most people have one other guy voice whenever they're telling a story, okay? Which is, they'll say, you know, I went down to the gas station the other day, and the guy goes, well, this is what we pay for gas now. And then he would say, then I went to the dry cleaner, and the dry cleaner goes, so, did you have these? I go, it's the same guy. The same guy was working at the dry cleaner that was working at the gas station? Dad, that's amazing. What did you drive ahead of you? No, Penny didn't. Now I'm doing my other dad voice, right? He said, no, it was the same. I go, Dad, you only got one other guy voice. Now, when you have one other guy voice, then that's it. Yeah, only one other guy voice. You can only tell stories that have one other guy in it. Otherwise, it's too confusing. And the other thing that's really hard is, people cannot do their other guy voice on demand. My wife is very fond of pointing out that you can get people to talk in the voice they talk to their pets in. You can really say to people, right, how do you talk to your pet? And after working for a while, they'll be going, oh, how you doing, Scooter? That's my other guy pet voice. And Scooter is the name of my imaginary dog. And for some reason, my other guy dog voice had an accent. It's all very mysterious. But it's hard to do your other guy voice on command. Like, I have another guy voice, right?
Sure.
When I'm telling stories, I can't do it on command. Can you do your other guy voice?
No, I can't.
But you know you have one.
I suspect that I do.
Yeah. So this
tell
woman,
many stories
this,
about other guys.
It's hateful.
Everything involves me.
Okay.
I have a me voice.
I'm not saying that you're not the protagonist in your stories. We had a guy that worked at our shop. Man, he... Talk about annoying. He was annoying as the Lamaze woman. He told
Sherry
stories.
Bales.
Sherry Bales. Write everybody, please. I don't ask much out of you. I know you're listening in the background. You're in your car, whatever. You're listening on a podcast. You're fast-forwarding. I don't know what you're doing, but really, write down the name Sherry Bales and avoid it like the plague. This woman is an affront to everything good in humanity. I really do. I mean, we watched about... 3 hours of her show before fun. I wanted to be a good husband.
Before you turned it off, it was 3 hours?
No, I was trying to be a good husband. I wasn't going to say we can't watch this woman prattle on about this. I wanted to be a good husband, so I was taking it. And then finally, Easy, because she's the greatest woman in the world, said, this woman is awful. And still, we would cringe. We would think about like breathing exercise and stuff. And so we stopped. And then we bought another tape, DVD, that was not as bad, but still bad. And then we got into actually have the birth, and the nurse who was there told us everything we needed to know, you know, hold her hand, breathe in, push down, do this. It was all done. It was like a 10-minute course when we had nothing else to do anyway. And the birth of Moxie was the greatest thing in the world because, which Tom Cruise will not allow his girlfriend to have, because he is just so whack. Why doesn't he make a movie in another language so we can talk about him behind his back like we did Mel Gibson? We'll finally confess this. Goudeau and I did do the translation for The Passion of the Christ. And if you know Aramaic, it'll make you laugh your ass off.
It was a lot of work. A
lot of work, yeah.
It was a lot of work.
Had a fake Aramaic, although fooling Mel Gibson is not that hard. Look, shiny object. He's fooled. He's done. But Tom Cruise will not let his girlfriend have any sort of drugs because he hates her. But Easy went in. My wife went in to the to have our baby, and I was there with her, coincidentally. And she had an epidural, right?
Yes.
And it was just a blast. The birth was a blast because I kept doing this thing. And I'll tell you something, jokes in a hospital are not appreciated, and therefore they're made funnier. While she was pushing, she had like 10 pushes and Moxie was out. But while she was pushing, I kept saying to her very seriously with the nurses in the room, I kept saying, "Now, honey, you don't have to go through with this. If you don't want to have the baby, we can just go home right now. You do not have to go through with this." Easy was laughing. We having a great time. And the nurses kept going, "Well, yes, she does." She really can't. I go, "Don't listen to them, honey. If you want, we'll just get up. I'll put you in the car, and we'll go home. You do not need to have a baby." And so the doctor said he had never heard so much laughing during a delivery. So Moxie was brought into the world with a lot of giggles all over her. But that doesn't matter, because the baby's not going to remember. L. Ron Hubbard was an acid-head science fiction writer. Retard! Everything he said was wrong. If he said Cheerios were good for breakfast, that's wrong. Everything is wrong. You can find truth from L. Ron Hubbard by doing the opposite. But Tom Cruise, he's better looking than me, so of course listen to him.
Maintain silence in the presence of birth to save both the sanity of the mother and the child.
Yeah, he also says, which I think is really funny, if you don't, it costs a lot of money in therapy. He said that somewhere.
Well, you know what? The other thing is that you're not allowed to test the baby
right
for 7 days for any medical problems or...
Well, you know, when a baby's born, you don't need to find the problems early. You don't need to find the problems early.
It's been a week without worrying. That's good.
I want to talk. You know, we got a lot of Gmails. We get a lot of Gmails all the time, but today we really happen to like a lot of them. We got a Gmail from David Allen Coe, who was talking about. Now I don't know if it's really David Allen Coe. We could be being spoofed on this, but I don't know why this would be a particular lie. He just says. He tuned into our show. Imagine my delight at hearing my name mentioned. I fancy myself a bit of a half-ass magician, too. He is a magician. I haven't seen him do anything. I saw a part of one videotape of him doing a magic show in Branson. He says he does close-up. I didn't see him do any. But David Allen Coe, I do not like country western music one bit. I do not enjoy country western music. But there are certain artists that rise above their genre. Well, even if you hate country western music, you need to have a couple David Allen Coe albums. I come back to them all the time. If you don't like rhythm and blues, you still need to have an NRBQ album, New Rhythm Blues Quartet. You know, if you don't like rock and roll, you still need some Bob Dylan. If you don't like classical, you still need some Bach and some Stravinsky. There's certain things that raise themselves up above the level, and David Allen Coe is one. So good. He also says, and I can't read all of this, I guess, but I'll read some of it. All of a sudden they tense up whenever I say I can't read all of it. It's David Allen Coe, okay? Okay, he thinks the F word is a color, okay? So I have to work. I am also a staunch supporter of the Bill of Rights, and here you guys are also. When interviewed by the great Larry Flint's Hustler magazine, rather than submit my headshot with, quote, leather cowboy hat and bushy mustache, I whipped out my legendary... I'll leave that blank, sim some time in New York, with a fly tattooed on the head, and they took a picture of that. And he signs it, this is why I tend to believe it's real, and the horse you rode in on, DAC. And this is not, I have an email address for David Allen Coe from an old girlfriend of his, but it bounced. So I'm not even sure if this is real, but if it is, it's terrific. And if it isn't, it still made me happy, because I love hearing from David Allen Coe. Read that email, please, Michael Godot, from the person about my Asians and the disgusting food they eat, because that
yes,
made me laugh
course
a lot. Just read the whole thing.
I am a promo editor for the Travel Channel. I was catching up on some episodes of the radio show that I had missed via your free podcast when I ran across the following. You declared you always wanted to do a PBS special called Asians and the Disgusting Food They Eat. I happened to be listening to this while I was cutting a promo for the Travel Channel program titled Bizarre Foods of Asia. This show is probably exactly what Penn had in mind. I'm including links that will take you to the two versions of the show.
Fabulous. See, I am so ahead of my time. First, we scooped Drudge, right?
Yeah.
We are so ahead of everything on this show. It's fabulous that Penn Jillette on Free FM scoops the Travel Channel. Now, what is the title of the show? Because I want to call the show Asians and the Disgusting Food They Eat.
Yes.
And they would, of course, they wouldn't go for that. What'd they go for?
Bizarre Foods of Asia.
That's exactly the same name.
It is exactly the same name.
Yeah. So I'm too.
I wrote to him to ask if you could do the voiceover. I know I didn't consult with you first.
Oh, that'd be great.
I'm sorry.
I would do it so cheap.
As your
cheap.
New agent.
I would do it so cheap, too. I mean, I know that Spicoli, my manager, and Crasher. Crasher and Spicoli.
Yeah, they're both cringing right now.
They're cringing when I say I'll do stuff cheap. But I would do that really cheap to do that. Just be able to go. Ah, that's what you do, right? When they're eating the fish knuckles, stuff like that. You don't think the uric acid comes out of the gills?
I don't think the uric acid comes out of the gills.
Okay.
You know, you touched on for a second, and this is something that I have been thinking about, and that is that why does the local food reviewer think he should write comedy into his food reviewing? It's the same as you were just saying that the woman who did the DVD about birth thought she could do comedy.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should start doing food reviews on the show.
Is there one you're talking about in particular?
Well, our local guy.
A local guy?
Yeah.
I've never even read the food reviews. You
no,
read the
it's,
food?
It's not at the food review. It's on the McDonald's radio.
Oh, yeah, the NPR thing?
Yeah,
McDonald's radio? Yeah.
Yeah, for 3 weeks now, he's written comedy bits about food instead of reviewing a restaurant.
There's a lot of that because comedy is so popular in the USA.
Yes.
And also, comedy is a way your friends kind of laugh with you. So these people end up thinking they're funny, which is a very important thing. As a public service announcement, when you're talking to your friends and they say something, don't laugh. You know, really, really don't laugh. Because
you think
laugh
it's too
enough,
encouraging?
This is what happens. I've talked about this before, I think, but in Hollywood, you'll meet a lot of women in their 40s who think they're really, really funny. Because when they were younger, they were real pieces, and everybody wanted to sleep with them so that they would pretend that they were smart and funny in order to get to sleep with them. And now that they're older, they still remember that people thought they were smart and funny, so they still think they are, and it's a really, really sad thing. It's the wonderful thing about not being very attractive. Is that I think you get a more accurate view of what you're really like. Because if you're really attractive, if you're like Tom Cruise or you're, you know, someone like that, people lie to you because you're so attractive. I mean, Tom Cruise, it's very hard to look Tom Cruise in the eye, I would imagine, and say, you are a dangerous psycho who's wrong about everything. Because he's so attractive, you go, well, maybe if I'm nice to him, he'll stay around me a little longer. I mean, I hung out with Don Johnson. You know, I not hung out with him. I was on the show, Miami Vice, with Don Johnson, at the time when he was the sexiest man in America. And I, well, let's not mince words. I hated Don Johnson. I could find nothing good about Don Johnson at all. And I should also say, reciprocally, Don Johnson hated me. I mean, it was really the second we had the first conversation, we disliked each other intensely. And I have stories about Don Johnson that I won't repeat because, you know, that was a bad time in his life. Bad time in his life because he was making $1 million an episode. There's a lot of people,
you know, rough that can be.
In Uganda going, oh, poor Don Johnson. But but I'll tell you, as much as I hated him, I'd be sitting there with him. And he was so attractive that I wanted to date him. Even though I hated him so much, the distance of his eyes apart and everything, and the symmetry of his face, and I mean, much more so than on TV. You know, he was really, and I met, you know, Paul Newman. And I met Paul Newman, he was like, you know, 70 years old, and still just gorgeous. You know, just perfect looking, the eyes and everything. And I met, what's her name? I just blanked on her name. Personal Best. And has a sister. Come on, help me here.
David Allen Coe?
Yeah, David Allen Coe. How could I just have blanked in her name? She's just beautiful. She was Star 80, you know, who played Star 80. I guess I'm doing, what's that?
If it's not Pat the Postman, I have not seen it.
Mariel Hemingway.
Which is the younger sister. Mariel, right? Mariel Hemingway. Anyway, Hemingway. I met her.
Not Ernest Hemingway.
No, I met her. She came to our show. And I tell you, when I saw her, I couldn't breathe. She was just so attractive that there's no way I would say to her, she could be talking about Christ dying for my sins. And I would have been going, I would have believed anything she said because she was so attractive. And that's one of the problems with people being attractive. They don't get accurate feedback. I, however, get accurate feedback on Free FM. Is that where we are now? PennRadio at gmail.com, PennRadio.com, 866-313-FREE, 3733. Talk about ugly nature, the eclipse, silent birth, anything you want to talk about. Clouding up good out there. We're going to have good thunderstorms. Scare your kid. Here we are in Las Vegas. My name is Penn Jillette. I'm across from Michael Goudeau. You know, PETA advises the only safe way to protect yourself against contracting bird flu is to become a vegetarian. And even birds think this is a moronic statement. We got a great Gmail from a guy named Eddie. Not Eddie Gordetsky, but an Eddie in San Francisco, who says, gents, I like when we're called gents, gents, the condor still exists, but now it's a New Orleans-style restaurant. They still have a lot of memorabilia from the Carol Dota days, including the piano that comes down from the ceiling. That piano, this is not an apocryphal urban myth. This was in the papers when I was there. The Condor Club, which was a strip club when I was there, now a New Orleans-style restaurant, which I guess means it's half underwater. It was a strip club, and because Carol Dota was, I think, not the first person to have implants, but very early on, her breasts were very famous. And they had a piano that would come down from the ceiling and go back up. It would lower, and she'd be on the piano. And there was a time that they found when they went in the morning that one of the young strippers had been having sex with an older, heavy-set man on top of the piano, and he died. And she was trapped in there with a dead guy on top of the piano, which is pretty cool. I'm not as good as the headline. What is the greatest headline ever? Was headless man found in topless bar. But still, to be trapped on the piano, having had sex when you're a stripper, a piano that goes up to the ceiling is pretty cool. We have an eclipse call. Don't we have an eclipse call?
We do. On line 5, we can talk to Lou.
Hey, Lou. What's up, boss?
This is entirely off guard.
It's going well. Hey, Lou.
Nah. That's okay. Our phone calls.
Yeah. This is really fun. You know, we do this. We do this very.
It's very existential.
Very existential. From now on, if you want to call us, don't even bother with the phone.
Hey, Lou.
How you doing, Lou?
Hey, good, Ben. How are you, man?
Good.
9 years old, I seen an eclipse. I was like lunchtime in high school, and not high school, grade school or whatever it is, and it was pretty neat, man. It was a partial eclipse,
you?
And just kept me going for more. I've been all over the world watching them.
Yeah, how many have you seen?
I've seen about 6 so far.
Yeah, did you see the big one? The one that where was in Mexico? When was that? You could see it in Mexico and Hawaii.
Oh, that one I don't remember. No.
Yeah, it was like in the early 90s. Is that what it was?
Yeah. Did you take the piece of paper?
I believe it was in the early 90s. I know we have one that I'm thinking about going to somewhere in the North Atlantic. It's going to be 2007 on March 3rd.
Uh-huh. It's the most beautiful thing in the world, isn't it?
It's very amazing. It started off an astronomy hobby for me. I've been doing it for a number of years. It's been a lot more expensive than girlfriends, man, let me tell you. I don't know if I could do this switch, but when you were talking about Tom Cruise, and it just sort of gave me an idea. I mean, that guy's lost it. Yeah. I'm sorry to switch subjects on you, but the more I watch his movies, I hate his movies now just for the simple fact that some of the stuff he's been doing is pretty whack.
Okay, man, thanks a lot.
Hey, man, thanks for taking my call. You guys have a good day.
Thanks a lot. You too. I wish I could remember the year. I should remember the year. But I was in New York City, so right around 1990. My friend Tim Jennison, one of my best friends in the world, called me up and said there was going to be the best eclipse we could see in our lifetime. And it was going to be visible from Hawaii and also from Mexico perfectly. And there's... he was going to fly down. He had a private plane that he flew, a jet that he was going to fly down to Mexico with. And And he invited me to go. And I was all like, you know, I get a Letterman coming up. I'm too busy. And he just said, the only time in your life you'll be able to see this. So we flew down to Mexico. We had the best vantage point. It was this beach in Mexico. And I guess everybody knows this. I'm a little bit xenophobic, you know. I'm not happy about leaving the country. I've been to Egypt, China, India, all over Europe. I've been all over the world, and I've never liked it, you know. I like to be in the USA. And I also really think that as soon as I leave the country, I'm going to get sick, because I always do. So since you're going to be in Mexico for only 2 days, I decided to not eat or drink the whole time I was down there. I thought this would be my... This is the way I think. I know you go and you live in, like, you know, yeah, horrible places. You swim in the Amazon peeing and you just, you know, you'll do anything, right?
Yes.
And you get sick, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You get really sick. Yeah, okay. So I went down there and I brought a couple gallons of water from the USA. And then I wasn't going to eat at all. As it turned out, I think I had like a chip at a Mexican restaurant. That's not important. So you go down, and the eclipse, this was like at noon, you know? Darkness at the break of noon shadows even the silver spoon. Unbelievable. And I was down there, and we're on the beach, and to Tim and all these guys from New Tech and his wife, Leslie, my favorite people in the world, you know, we're down there. And I almost took a really bad bet. Tim had to, like, slap me out of it. Because I was down there on the beach, and there was this attractive young woman, and she was talking with me. We were having a great time talking. And I went over to Tim and said, I bet you $1,000 I can get her to sit in a room with me and watch Two Men and a Baby on HBO during the eclipse. I bet I can get her to do that. I bet I can talk her into it. And one of Tim's friends said, okay, I'll take that $1,000 bet. And I was going over to talk to her. And I was going to just tell her how cool it would be and how it would be performance art to be able to say we were down there in Mexico during the greatest eclipse of our lifetime and we were watching Two Men and a Baby in 3 Men and a Baby, whatever it is, some number of people and a baby in a hotel room, you know. And it wasn't even a sexual thing. You know, it was just, can I do that? It was the pure definition of conquest, you know. Am I persuasive enough that I can, Don Johnson or Tom Cruise or Mariel Hemingway could have got her in the room like that, but I was going to do it with just persuasion. And Tim took me aside and said, listen, man, I flew you down here in my jet to see the most beautiful thing of your lifetime. You're going to take this stupid bet for $1,000 to have a good story. It's a better story to see something beautiful. And he really shamed me. And I went over and still kind of played with it to see if I could get her to say yes, because then I would say no, which is always sexy anyway. I went there, and Tim, and the great thing about seeing an eclipse, and the eclipse is amazing. The eclipse is so much, I mean, I cannot understand how if you did not know what an eclipse was, it's the end of the world. It goes dark at noon. The birds go to sleep. It gets cold. It is an entire, it sweeps over you, and it's just, even though you understand it, it just rips your heart out. I mean, you just kind of go, ah, it's the end of the world, and it's this beautiful thing. And they tell you, you know, you get your little piece of welder's glass.
Yeah.
You've got your piece of paper with a hole in it. You know, you've got your telescopes with all the welding glass on top of it. And everybody tells you, well, you can look at the eclipse during the full eclipse. You can see the ring around it, and you'll be okay. But as soon as the eclipse starts to get over, you must look away, or you're looking into the sun, you moron. Okay? And they tell you this, and everybody's walking up and down the beach going, don't look at the sun. Don't stare right at the sun. And you're going like, yeah, okay, I won't look at the sun, bro. Don't worry about me. I'm solid, right? So Tim's got these huge binoculars, you know, that have like the special tinting over it. And Tim is like a pro at this eclipse stuff. He's flown down in his own jet. He's got his whole posse there. I'm there with him, you know. And this posse is all like real cool science guys. And then there's me, you know, Broadway comedian me. And then these guys. So Mr. Magician, Mr. Magic, you know, I'm like doing everything right. I got a little piece of paper. And it gets to full eclipse, right? And I'm looking up at the full eclipse, and man, I've never seen anything more beautiful in my life. I mean, the sun that brings us life, all the energy in the solar system, has these beautiful little, I think they call it the pearl something, the necklace or something, around it. Not pearl necklace, that's, you know, that's a whole other thing that's also beautiful. But you can just see these little baubles of perfect light just coming around this black disc, and where you've had all of life blocked out. I mean, it's primitive. It is just primordial. You just see this, and then all of a sudden it's breaking through, and you just start to cry. It's because I cry at anything. It's the most, I cry at, you know, 16 blocks. It's the most beautiful thing in the world, and I'm watching this, and I'm completely transfixed, and I'm having this real metaphysical experience, and all of a sudden I get slapped directly in the face. Just, and Tim goes, "You're staring at the sun!" And I go, "Oh, yeah, yeah." And I go, "Yeah, Tim, it's so beautiful." And he goes, "Yeah, so beautiful, you'll see it the rest of your life and nothing else. Stop staring at the sun." And he goes back to his binoculars. He had been looking through binoculars with welder's glass, seeing the most beautiful thing in the world. And Tim loves me so much and knows me so well, while looking at this beautiful thing once in a lifetime, his brain was thinking, you know, Penn is so stupid. He's probably staring at the sun now.
He's a llama.
Maybe.
I love him.
Maybe Tim looked at everybody to make sure they were okay, because he's a very much of a, he cares for people very much. But maybe, in my mind, he just looked at me. And he really did just like slap me right across the face. You idiot. You absolute moron. And then I watched the rest of it properly. But the eclipse, if you ever get a chance to see a full eclipse, which you're not going to because this was the only one in our lifetime, ha, ha, ha. This is Penn Jillette. We'll be back after this. PennRadio@gmail.com. Just slap me right upside the head. You idiot. I wish I were out staring at the sun. Happy Jack, our producer, asked me a question during the break. I guess I should answer. The attractive woman that I was going to watch Three Men and a Baby during the eclipse watched the eclipse as well and had a wonderful time. So I didn't ruin it for her either. So one of those weird Penn stories that come out without someone getting hurt.
My solar eclipse story is not nearly so generous.
Lay it on us.
I hurt myself, actually. I was in Houston and got up one morning and hopped onto my motorcycle and pulled up to the guard gate and noticed that the shadows around me were odd. And I thought, what the heck is that? And I looked up at the sun and went, oh, it's an eclipse. How cool is that? And then started out, and the gate had gone up and come back down. And I smashed through the gate on my motorcycle.
Well, the part that amazes me is, how did you not know there was going to be an eclipse? They're announced.
I understand that. I was not paying attention somehow.
So the eclipse snuck up on you?
It snuck up on me entirely.
Was it a total eclipse?
It was not a total eclipse. Yeah. Just but it was little, just, you know, I went outside and went, gosh, the light is weird. Yeah. What's going on? Yeah.
And on another subject, I got a letter from our friend Quinn in New York City. Uh-huh. And this is the other side, because, you know, this is free FM. And as you know, you never need the freedom to be smart. You only need freedom to be stupid. Anyone will let you do the smart stuff. It's the stuff that's in your heart that makes you stupid, that makes you an individual, that makes you free. So all of that is to explain why I now am contradicted in what I said. Hey, Penn, she says joyously, I wrote a comedic bit for a show using my name. The guy knew me and politely said it wouldn't work. Translation, cute girls can't be funny, or at least they shouldn't be. Essentially, I was ignored. Later, I submitted it again, verbatim, using a guy's name. They not only used it, but it killed. Hilarity ensued. I did not feel defeated at all. In fact, it was rather interesting. It's a reality, and perhaps if more women understood that, they wouldn't be so damned angry. Arg! Quinn. And then there's a few X's and O's, because she's a kind person. So, yes, it also works that way. I know some very funny women writers who would contradict everything I said. I think that that's, you know, so what I said is not true.
Yeah, but also there's a total eclipse visible from North America August 1st, 2008. So apparently Tim Jennison lied to you.
Okay. I don't know what he meant. You know, Tim Jennison and Leslie often listen to the show. Tim told me it was the only time in my life I'd be able to see an eclipse this perfect.
With him in his plane in Mexico.
Tim, help me. What is it? What is it that we saw that was so special? Please, 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 please.
Nicely done.
and Quinn has also said, this is why she didn't tell us the show, and I almost forgot, as though I'd break their hearts or some guy code if I later fessed up that it was me, a woman. To this day, I have never taken credit, she says. So there we have cute women who deny being funny. You know, use a man's name when they're funny. Please, Tim, please, write in a Gmail, Tim or Leslie, and tell me why that was special. You know, Tim did say it was the greatest eclipse I would see in my lifetime. So he may know that I'll be dead before 2008. That's possible. It's possible that Tim has, it's that great Stephen Wright joke where his girlfriend wakes up in the middle of the night and says, if you were going to die an hour from now, would you want to know? And he says, no, and she says, never mind. Maybe he didn't want to tell me when the next eclipse was going to be because I was going to be dead before that eclipse. You think it's it?
That's probably it. He's a pretty good software guy. He's probably got that figured out. He's not psychic, but he's got the software, predictive software says you'll be dead.
Or maybe he just is going to cap me. Maybe his plan is, you know, hey, honey, let's cap Penn Jillette, February 2008. maybe that's his plan. Happy Jack was just doing mime in the other room. Just see that?
He held up.
No, you didn't do that. It wasn't like you held the gun sideways. You know why he held the gun sideways? Because that's the way it comes out of the case. You're not supposed to change the orientation. Was that your thinking, Jack? Yes.
The gyroscopes.
The gyroscopes coming out of it. We had some other great Gmails I wanted
you
to
know, here's, it, this was a good one, I thought. My concern, however, is about the TV show Bull's Hit. In season 2, episode about profanity, you featured Man-Cow. And I'm not sure if you're unaware, but Man-Cow's a religious scum. and apparently Man-Cow has attacked normal Bob Smith. So they would like us to talk about that.
Well, you know, I will talk about that. I've always had a weird relationship with Man-Cow because Man-Cow is good friends with and has been very kind to my friend Tony Fitzpatrick
right, in
Chicago. And Tony swears by Man-Cow, thinks he's terrific. And I have tremendous respect for Tony, as you know. I'll do whatever Tony says. And Teddy. Tony and Teddy in Chicago are very good friends of mine. And they like Man-Cow. So when I go on the show, I show Man-Cow the respect that you're supposed to show for a friend of a friend. He is very religious, and he has that weird quality where he tries to act like he's very skeptical about things, whereas he's actually a faithful believer. And we did have him on our show, Bull's Hit, and we had him on the profanity show, and it was an awkward moment because he thought we were going to rip him apart or something. We wanted to be very careful, and we didn't. We treated him with a great deal of respect. But there was one very creepy thing. We do this whole section on the profanity show that it's just words and it doesn't matter, and then we have a lot of people like Bob Corn Revere, First Amendment attorney, and a lot of other people just do a list of obscenities. They just read them out without any passion, without any context, just to show these are just sounds that human beings make, and they don't really mean anything. And Man-Cow would not say one word. So the whole concept of these are just words meant nothing. My wife doesn't want me to say that. You know, it was that kind of weird thing. So my relationship with Man-Cow has been respectful because of Tony, you know. But I bumped into him at the House of Blues in L.A., seeing NRBQ, and it was just awkward. Every time I've seen him off the air, it's been a little bit awkward because our philosophies of the world are so, so, so different. Also, Man-Cow trashing normal Bob Smith is something I did not know, and I did not hear it myself, so I don't know. But he supposedly said what to normal Bob Smith?
He hoped that Bob's mother would be gang-raped because of his website, JesusDressUp.com.
Well, you know, the great thing about hoping and praying is that they do not work. They do not work. Praying, you know, I can pray right now that Man-Cow's eyes fall out and he eats them accidentally. I can pray for that. I can hope for that. I can wish for that. It does Man-Cow no harm because praying does not work. And clearly, at some level, Man-Cow knows that. Because Man-Cow would not hope and pray for a man's mother to be gang-raped if he thought there was anybody that would answer that prayer. So I think that's proof right there that Man-Cow is an atheist who pretends to be Christian. I don't know.
If we got him in a room and...
Well, I don't know. You can't hope. If you believe, that hoping and praying work? You cannot hope for someone's mother to be gang raped. And while we're on the subject, normalbobsmith.com is a fabulous website. Normal Bob Smith is a beautiful writer. He's a great artist. And he does the Jesus dress-up magnets, which I have a set of in my home. It's Jesus on a cross. And then you have different outfits you can put on, like a Santa outfit and a suit and a tie and also some bondage gear and fetish wear and all sorts of really cool stuff. So I know Man Cow didn't mean that. I know that Man Cow was just trying to be shocking on a radio show. And I, like I said, I will not say anything against Man Cow because of my respect for Tony and Tony's respect for Man Cow. That's the way that kind of stuff works.
That's what friends are for.
It is what friends are for.
Let's
talk about Scotty Meltzer.
Okay.
Scotty Meltzer has some of the most hateful friends of anybody. And he's a friend of ours, and I let some of these people into my home because of Scotty. I don't like them.
Why are you addressing this to me?
Because I'm a friend of Scotty's because of you.
I'm a friend of Scotty's as well. I'm sorry about that.
But I only know Scotty because of you.
Scotty himself is a fine person.
He's a fine person.
He just hangs out with bad people.
And I guess we're on that list. We have a quick phone call we can take or nothing good? There's a few people that call every day with the same question that we're not interested in. But are there any that are like new and fresh?
No, we have some more Gmails.
Yeah, let's go with some Gmails.
Okay. We did get one from a geneticist who asked about the cloning pigs thing. He says, intelligent. Why would you want to clone intelligent barnyard animals such as these pigs? Ears of corn and stalks of wheat can be obviously benefit from becoming GMOs, and I certainly wouldn't mind that one bit, but what would your response be to someone who feels that genetically engineering a pig to be more heart healthy and then kill it? Why is that? Why wouldn't you just change your diet instead?
And that's a geneticist.
Yeah. I mean, is this really essential as opposed to frost-resistant tomatoes?
Yeah. Well, once again, freedom means the right to be stupid. I would disagree. I think that I guess he's making a vegetarian argument.
It's Christy.
Right?
It's a woman.
That's Christy. Sorry, yeah. The geneticist. I guess she's making an argument that we could just be vegetarians and not eat pigs.
It could be more sensible. And not eat pigs.
We certainly could. I think I could give up bacon, but I like it.
I like genetically engineering bacon so that it's good. That way you can make things different and they're still the same.
Exactly.
And that's what's important in life. It should be different, but very much the same.
Yeah. Well, Christy, you're a geneticist. We're not. So you're the one on the front lines. You're doing the right stuff. So we certainly couldn't be more respectful of your opinion on that. But, maybe somebody else. Well, you're working on the frost-resistant tomatoes and the wheat and the grain and the rice. I think I'm being redundant there. Maybe someone else can work on the bacon.
I'll work on the bacon.
for guys like us. Any other Gmails you want to read? Did we get through a lot?
Oh, yeah. We didn't. We have another one here. Who's skeptical about your hydrotherapeutic stimulator and suggests that we do a double-blind study of the Jill Jet. Also that the research subjects should be blindfolded so that they can't tell whether they're on the Jill Jet or not. And they should also have their hands tied above their heads. Just as part of the double blind.
Sure. Just so they wouldn't know. That's a perfect letter. Let me see that again. Okay. Let me just hand that to me.
You take a look.
That's from JD. He's taking this. This ties in everything about the whole show here. He's saying that we state something, but he's skeptical. It's a very skeptical show. He wants the study to be published and peer reviewed, and he also thinks that they all the subjects should be blindfolded and have their hands tied above their head as well. Couldn't hurt. Best regards. There are people who are listening carefully to this show, and JD is one of them. Thanks so much for listening. In our own way, we love all of you. We'll be back tomorrow to talk about more stuff. 866-313-FREE. We're on Free FM. Go to penradio.com because we'll have more stuff up there soon. Okay, thunderstorms in Las Vegas. Cloudy gathering.
Get in the house, Joey.